Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I be with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Relationships, and I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and you know that means it must be Thursday night, and my lovely co-host and expecting wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, it should be on the line. Are you there, love?
Yes, I am.
There she is, and, and y'all got the good news last week. Yes, we are having a little girl, and her name is going to be K.L. after her father, K-A-Y-E-L-L-E, and Christina after my grandmother. Oh, my gosh. We want to say thank you to all of the folks who left us the warm wishes and the congratulations. Thank you so much. It was much appreciated. Now, make sure that y'all sign up for babysitting duty. That is right. Make sure that you sign up for babysitting duty, because you know what? The parents might need to go out for a break. But no, we just want to say thank you, and all we're hoping for is a healthy child. That's all that we're concerned about, and we want to thank everyone and ask that you continue to pray, because we still have some time for her to get here. So, but with that said, again, thank you for tuning in to GQ Palace Radio, where we are every Thursday night from 8 to 10. Run and tell a friend right now to jump on and support, because this is what we do. And, you know, y'all don't understand that sometimes it's rough. We work full-time jobs, and then you get home, you get comfortable, you look up and go, whoa, it's time to get on the air. Man, you have to go to bed and be like, nah, we got to get on the air and do what we got to do. But tonight, we're definitely, and we normally going to break a little protocol, because we normally wait and discuss what we're going to talk about later. But we're going to finish up part two of the seminar tonight. I know we started a little bit last week, but then once we gave that news out, it was no longer about making marriage cool again. It was talking about the baby, and that's understandable. But we definitely want to get the seminar out to folks that are listening, as well as to have it on the air, have it saved in the archives, so if folks want to refer back to it, or you want to have a friend come and take a listen. Now, if you're listening, I'm going to give you two places that you can come and listen to the past shows. The first is our website, which is our blog site, which is www.makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. The other is Blog Talk Radio / GQ Palace. GQ Palace dash, oh, am I getting that? I'm getting that wrong. I'm sorry.
Sure,
blogtalkradio.com / GQ dash Palace. And then just look up Reality and Relationships and all our past shows, as well as all the other archives of the other shows are there too, because there's shows on every day of the week. And you can definitely go through that and find one that you like. So this way, you can tune in and get the information that we're trying to give out. And what we try to do every Thursday is to give our opinions and our thoughts and our provocative intellect on,
based on our experiences.
Yes, based on our experiences. My wife likes to believe she's a guru. I try not to use that word, but she says she is, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
And we're simply just trying to make relationships stronger. We would like folks to be married, but if you're not going to get married, that is your choice. But we are trying to strengthen relationships all the way around, not just romantic type, family relationships, work relationships, any type of relationship that you have of the social nature, simply because want to see things change in this world. I know it sounds grandiose. I know it sounds Pollyannic, but you have to want something if you believe it can happen. You got to want it. You got to believe it. And so we believe that we can make some changes on this planet. And so we're going to live our marriage out loud. We're going to live our lives out loud. And we're going to do that through the show. And so we hope that you would enjoy it. And you're tuning in each week and you tell a friend. Now, with that said, let's get started. Baby doll, how was your week?
Love.
How was
my
your week?
Is
an extra, I believe, right? You did something exciting this past week.
Yes, I was an extra on an independent film. It's basically about a woman who's going through some changes, and she's having a mental breakdown. And I don't want to give too much of the story away, but I had a really good time on set. I met some really nice people. We became Facebook friends, of course, which is why I love social media, because when you get to meet new people, you can now stay in touch. And it was so funny because it was a full day. I was there from, we started, what time did we start? 12 noon until 4:30, almost 5 o'clock. And we were on set at a church, a real church, and it's funny because I was the first person to arrive. I was kind of early, and I got to meet the real pastor of the church, and we sat and talked for a while, and then the production crew showed up, and the other extras and the main characters, they showed up, and everyone was so nice. I haven't done this in a few years. Like, I used to go for different
films before as an extra, and it doesn't pay that much. It, you know, gives you a little pocket money, but it also gives you the experience of being on set and seeing how production is really done. It's so funny because sometimes you have to do the same scene over and over and over again. And it was funny because there was one scene where we were outside the church, and the main character, she basically has a breakdown, and she runs out the church, and she runs past us and nearly knocks us down the stairs. So we actually had to walk up and down the stairs about 10 times. And it was kind of cold outside that day, but it was so funny because people didn't realize that I was pregnant. And then when they realized it, they said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm good. This is fine for me." And I was glad that I was able to do it because, like I mentioned, people had asked me before what I could have considered maternity modeling. And initially, it wasn't something that I considered because I did not know. This is my first pregnancy. This is the first time that I'm having a baby. And I didn't know how I would feel physically, emotionally, everything, to make that commitment to have to meet deadlines and show up for pictures and get your hair done, get your makeup done. You know, it's fun when it's just you, but now I'm carrying a load. So I was just happy to be on set and enjoy that time and meet new people. But it was awesome.
Nice. So I was about to say, how do you not, you know, you do that with your modeling and everything else, so why would that be a stretch?
Well, it's not a stretch. Like I said, when it was just me and I could just jump up and go, I still have to be conscious that I have a little person inside me, so those times that I want to jump up and go, it's not that easy. My balance is off, as anyone who's ever been pregnant. You know, sometimes you tilt one way and you keep tilting. It doesn't equalize itself anymore. You get tired. You get aches and pains. Even now, like, my body has gone through so many changes, I can't even imagine my stomach getting bigger than it is. But I spoke to one of my coworkers who had a baby last year, and she said, "Oh, believe me, your stomach is going to get much bigger." But it seems like it's at maximum capacity already. But, I mean, you know, those things that you have to deal with, and trying to do that and be on set, it could possibly be difficult. I do have to say I had a lot of fun. I met a woman who has been in the industry for some time, and her sons are actually actors. She has twins, and their names are Aiden and Amir. They have a website, inandamir.com. It's so cute. But she has been working with them as their manager, and she said to me, "You know what?" She said she had just came across a casting for a pregnant woman. They were looking for pregnant women, and the pay is really decent. So she said, I'm going to submit your information, because she didn't have any friends that she knew pregnant. So when we met on Saturday, she said, "I'm definitely going to submit you." So she actually submitted me for a couple of things. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it comes through. I'm looking forward to doing it.
Sounds good. Well, we'll see what the Lord has to say about that. Sounds perfect. So what else is going on? Start training us at work.
You know, we have work. Which, yes, ma'am. Sometimes I want to talk about it. Sometimes I don't. But I have posted on Facebook a few things. One of my coworkers had me cracking up because there's some things going on that shouldn't be going on. And I think sometimes, as not just private businesses, but even corporations, the people in charge, I call it the powers that be, sometimes don't look at the bigger picture. Sometimes they only look at the dollar sign and don't realize that they are putting themselves in more jeopardy than they possibly expect. And they put things in place. They have practices. Sometimes they break the law. And don't think that comes to bite them behind. And, you know, things happen. And you try to explain to people there are certain things that you can't do or that you shouldn't do to alleviate any headache in the future, when it comes to dollars and cents, they don't want to hear it. So they have to learn on their own, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, that's true. So what else? Nothing else going on, darling?
This weekend we have plans to attend an event, you and I.
We do.
Are you looking forward to it? No, it doesn't sound like it.
No.
Okay, I'm going, you know, sometimes I don't understand you.
I'll go because my wife asked me to go.
I have a friend that we've been friends since maybe second, third grade, and we have kept in touch over the years. Sometimes we lose touch, but then we catch right back up as if we never lost touch. And her mother is celebrating her 60th birthday, and we're attending that this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what I'm wearing because practically everything that I have in my closet is I'm growing out of. And it's a formal event, so I have no idea. But I'll figure something out.
Yeah, well, if you want to put your feet up and relax, just let me know.
Yeah, today was Halloween, so...
Today is, not was, still is.
Oh, yeah, today is. It's not midnight yet.
Yeah.
It is Halloween. KL and I don't celebrate Halloween. I used to. It used to be something that I really enjoyed because not the idea behind Halloween and everything, what people say the meaning of, but I used to like to get dressed up. I used to like to put on costumes, makeup, make everything elaborate and have fun. But, you know, we don't do it anymore. And it's funny because at the nursing home, all the residents get dressed up. The recreation team, they get dressed up. And then they have a parade of costumes, which is so much fun to see the residents in costumes. So for the past 3 years, because I don't celebrate Halloween, I basically promote the pageant that I'm in. So I wear my crown and my sash, and of course I'm the pageant queen for the day. And everybody likes it. We all take pictures. But it was a lot of fun. I was happy to see the residents in their costumes. I think, you know, we should have a costume baby shower. What do you think?
No. I'm not a big fan of letting people dress up in masks and all the other foolishness.
I know you're not a fan. You had a bad experience.
I don't even know psychology about it. I just think it's an opportunity for folks to kind of wild out. And the police are actually helpless. That's why the police kind of tell you to take it easy and all this other stuff, because you can't take what people like to do away from them. So people like to get dressed up, put on masks, do whatever. But it's perfect for those that would do negative, because you don't know who the criminals are. Everybody dressed up in some type of mask. And
right.
The only thing that you can kind of do is look at time and say, well, it's 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. But if I say I'm going to a party, what can you really say? And this creates the environment for lawlessness. Now, unfortunately, you know, you already explained, we don't celebrate Halloween as it is. Actually, I don't celebrate any of the holidays, so, you know, it is what it is.
Don't celebrate the holidays the way people traditionally celebrate them.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, it's more like, you know, I'm just sitting and saying now is, well, you know what, I'll explain why I'm not a big fan of Halloween is that, you know, years ago when, hold on 1 second, you know what, I'm going to come back in a second simply because I want to finish what I'm doing before I discuss it. But I just think that some folks take the opportunity, you know, to just wild out. And I think what folks really have to be careful of is that you have children out here, and I think after a certain amount of time, the children shouldn't be out. If you don't have pre-organized, pre-arranged parties for them to go to places, for them to go and enjoy the candy, if that's what you're about, you know, if you just want to have an event, I know a lot of churches offer a counter Halloween type event. You know, a lot of people discuss the meaning behind Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and all other stuff like that. Listen, everybody's going to have their own personal belief system about Halloween itself. And whatever works for you, that's fine. I simply say be careful. I simply say, remember that not everybody that's out here getting dressed in a costume is about the fun part of it. Some people see it as an opportunity to do what they already do, but now to be able to hide their faces and everything else. And that's a real thing. And I think folks kind of laugh it off, but you'll see tomorrow morning watching the news, you hear about it every year, you know, Halloween tragedy or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of crazy. Not kind of crazy. It is crazy. But now, and I know I had put off what I was saying. Well, let me get into this because I did post on Facebook earlier about a situation that I have been involved in 24 years ago. So actually tonight at about 1:35, 2 o'clock, will make exactly 24 years to the date. And I was working at the Crown Motel in South Jamaica, Queens, right off of Rockaway and the Conduit in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I grew up in South Jamaica. At the time, I was living in Rochdale, so I was in walking distance from the place where I was working. And I remember I was sitting in the booth Halloween night, and, you know, early I came on, and I remember I worked a double because the other guy didn't want to work. So I worked from 4 to 12 and then 12 to 8. So I did the first shifts. Kids came in. I don't know why you would come trick-or-treating in a hotel. Felt like throwing condoms in the bag, but that's another story. So after about 10, 11 o'clock, things got quiet, you know, closed out the first shift, started the second shift. Into the second shift, things were relatively quiet. You know, it was middle of the week, so it was definitely not a busy night. Now, the crazy, crazy thing was that the year before was my second year. I was going into my second year. I started in October of 88. I started 2 weeks before Halloween, and, you know, everything went cool. But on Halloween, I rented a room to a couple, and I don't remember seeing the girl leave, but the guy set the room on fire. And I remember smelling the smoke, and I remember the light flashing on the board. I go upstairs, and I feel the door, and the door is not hot. So, you know, I said, okay, it's not hot. Maybe I can open the door. I opened up the door, and when I tell you the flame was swirling like a tornado inside the room, and when I opened up the door, the window was slightly ajar. So me opening up the door created a current which caused the wind to basically pull in. But the crazy part was to see the fire come back at the door. And I was like, whoa, when I slammed the door. Now the smoke had gotten out, and I'm knocking on the door to get the people out, breathing in this nasty smoke. Fine, we get all the people out. EMS comes, all that. I take it 2 days off. I come back to work. So I was like, okay, interesting. First couple weeks. Fast forward a year later. So I'm sitting there, as I said, I'm reading Jim Brown's book. And I'm sitting there reading Jim Brown's book, and I see three guys come in. They're wearing Halloween masks. I think two were clown masks, and I'm not really sure what the other one is. I might even been all three wearing clown masks. Now, the booth that I was in is a bulletproof booth with a large metal door to the left side. If I'm standing directly in front of the window where you would get the rooms, there's a metal door to my left, and behind me off to the right is another door that leads to a bathroom with another door, and then on the other side of that door is a door that you come into the booth, which is in the hallway. That door is a metal door also. But now, they had always said you keep the doors locked, so if anything happens, you can always call the police. You're protected if you're inside. And if you really needed to, you could always run downstairs to the basement, and there's another exit that comes out onto the street on Rockaway Boulevard that most people don't pay attention to, and it's really, you wouldn't even realize that it's connected to the hotel. That's kind of almost like an escape way if you needed to get out. Right. I had a bad habit of leaving the door to the hallway unlocked because I was always running in and out of the booth doing things I wasn't supposed to do, and you have to buy from Gigolo to Jesus to understand what some of those things were. But all I can tell you is that when you're in a no-tell motel, a short-stay motel, well, you already know what some of those things are. We're not going to get into that tonight. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me?
I said by the book.
By the book. Well, somewhat by the book. So, the three guys come in and they're looking through the window, and I'm like, all right, very funny guys, you know, what do y'all want? And then I see one of the guys go around, and I heard him, you know, pull at the metal door. So now I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, I didn't lock that door, but I don't want to look nervous, and I'm not going to be fearful. So I'm like, come on, guys, why y'all playing? Get up out of here. At that point, the guy steps back from the window, pulls out a gun, and he's like, yo, big man, come out the booth. Now, I know that's bulletproof glass in front of me. That's what they told me. But I ain't about to stand there.
Right.
Because at the time, I'm thinking, you know, they don't know that that lock is down that door, and they could kick that door open because it's just a regular, basically, hotel door lock. So I make my move. They make theirs. So as I'm going through the first door out of the booth, through the bathroom, through the second door, as I'm coming through the second door, they kick the door open. So the door is coming at me, swinging from my right to left. I grab the door and I push the door back. Now, the three guys didn't realize that as a big guy moving forward, I'm a force. And so they were pushing against the door, and I'm pushing on the other side. Now, imagine having my left shoulder and left knee up against the door because I am trying to lean against it to push these three guys back. And the guy is yelling, yo, big man, I'm going to kill you. Yo, you better move, man. You better let the door go. And I'm screaming a whole lot of curse words. And, yes, I ain't no punk, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on the radio now. When you're fearful, you do some very stupid things. So I was like, F no, hell no, whatever no, whatever. Because in my mind, I'm like, if I let them in here, they're going to kill me. So as I pushed the door closed, before I could put the latch on the door, the guy fired a shot through the door. I guess they figured I was standing directly behind the door, figuring that there was no way he was able to push us back off to the side. They figured I had to be right behind the door. So they fired basically through the middle of the door, and the shot came right near my left arm, my left shoulder. Then when they tried to kick at the door, I'm trying to reach up. Now, for a hot second, I froze. I ain't going to lie. I think if they'd have kicked the door at the same time that they'd have fired that shot, they'd have had me. Because when I felt the vibration of it coming through that metal door, I knew it was a high caliber weapon. So as I reach up to try to put the metal bolt across the top, which is up near my chin, another shot comes in through the bottom, which was down near, right under my knee, near my calf. So they were trying to figure out where I was. They never realized that I'm actually in the crease of where the door is open and closed. I'm right there, and they can't see. They're just shooting blindly. So at that point, I was able to slide the latch across the door, and I started to go down the steps. I had my walkie-talkie on my hip, but we had an agent, an officer in the hotel who had no gun. So I don't even know why they had him come to work that night. You know, how you going to secure the joint? You ain't got no weapon.
Wow.
So as I make the first step down the steps, they just let off. Seven more shots just rang out through the door. And I mean, they were hard shots. And it sounded like each time the bullets hit the door, it was like a punch. And I mean a loud punch. And you could hear the metal being pierced. And I just ran a little bit. Go ahead.
So basically, they came to rob the motel.
Yes.
Now, the charge would have been attempted robbery. Now it goes to attempted murder because,
yeah,
obviously
that's,
you're shooting at a door that you think somebody's behind. That's attempted murder.
And they don't know what I'm holding, so you don't know if they're fearful that maybe I went and grabbed something, and I'm coming through that door. And the crazy thing, and I know I say crazy a lot, the thing that is really unusual is I normally had a .38 on me, as well as a 20-gauge shotgun that I would keep there. But I remember my grandmother complaining, and she was like, you don't need to keep that there because if you have to use it, you kill somebody, your whole life would be over. So I took those out and stashed them downstairs in the basement. So they weren't where they normally were, just right behind the door, because if I could have got it behind the door, hey. I take my chances. And so as I'm going down the steps, I'm calling to the officer, if you're in the room, just stay in the room because they're shooting, and I'm hearing the gunshots coming. I hear them kicking, but now, you know, the metal bars on, and I'm not really worried about them being able to get in with the metal bar. So I stayed down there, and then, you know, the security guard called me and said, yo, they left. I saw them when they ran out. And he said when he was coming out to take a look, he said he saw them running out the back. The guy pointed the gun at him, and then he ran back in and dove on the floor, but the guy didn't shoot, and then they ran off. So we called the police and everything. I come back upstairs, and I was shook up. Nah, I can't lie and say I wasn't, but I wasn't bent out of shape. I was angry. I was angry that someone made me feel like this, that someone made me run off in fear. So when the police were like, you want to go take a ride to see if you see him? I was like, cool. We jump in the car, and we ride around, and we seen so many people that look alike, and we seen so many people with masks on that the officer said, you know, the chances of us really seeing them, because it could be anybody, and you wouldn't be able to identify them because you would only be identifying the mask. And he said it'd be, if we get lucky, maybe you can identify the mask and we can maybe catch them with some type of powder residue and all that. Needless to say, never happened. And when we got back, I remember there were two officers. This is why, you know, I can understand why some people have a problem with officers. There were two officers in the hallway. And they were making fun of me. He was like, well, probably we pulled out a 22 and big man got nervous. And again, I went to the curse words. Okay, I wasn't a saved man that I am now. And I was like, F both y'all. I said, I know the difference between a 22, just like you would know the difference if I had one pushed up against your head. So he looked at me. He got offended by what I said. I was like, I don't care. I said, trust me, I know that was a high caliber weapon. So the guy is picking up the shell with his pencil. And the guy said, well, big man is right. I said, 9 millimeter shell right there. And I said, see, and I screamed out F both y'all as I was going to the booth. Well, the captain that had pulled up, I actually knew him because I had seen him the year earlier when he was actually used to come to the Burger King, which is right next door to the hotel. He used to come by to get ice, and we used to sit and talk. And when he saw me, he said, you're still here? I said, yes, sir. And we were talking, and then I explained to him what his officers had did, and he took him out back and made him come in to apologize. But I also learned something else that night. After everything calmed down, they took my statement, and, you know, I still finished up work. I stayed to work. I didn't go home. The captain came back about 6:30 in the morning. He sat down with me. He said, you don't have any weapons here? I said, no. I wasn't going to tell him I have illegal guns. I ain't stupid. He said, let me explain to you how you got to protect yourself. And he went through. He commenced to show me. He gave me the names of two 24-hour gun ranges. He said, you apply for a gun license, not to carry, but to keep in your house. You have no record. He said, once the license gets issued, go to the gun ranges at different times, before you go to work and after you go to work. Now, I'm trying to figure out why. He said, because now you can keep your gun inside here. If you ever have to use it, he said, don't shoot him in the back. Don't shoot him more than twice. He said, when the detectives come, just give them your gun. And when they ask you, why was your gun on the premises, you say, because I normally take it with me when I go to practice at the gun range, either after work or before work. If you say before work, you say the reason why you brought it in because you don't want to leave a weapon inside the car in a high drug neighborhood or whatever. And I just thought it was strange. But he said, look, if they're not going to protect you, protect yourself. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to go that route because I wasn't looking to kill nobody. And that was actually the first time that I can honestly say, okay, Lord, I guess you got greater plans, because even when I replay it, when I showed the officer where I was in relation to the door, he just stood there and said, you held this door? I said, yes. And I showed him where the first bullet came, and I showed him where the second was. And then he showed me how the other bullets came through the door and dug into the floor. One came through the door and pierced a hole into the gooseneck of the sink, which was solid steel. And another one pierced a lead pipe that was back in the bathroom. He was like, you either the dumbest man I've ever met or the bravest man I've ever met. He said, but if any one of these bullets would have hit you, it would have been lights out. And I've never taken that for granted. I've never walked around and said, I'm bulletproof, I'm Superman, none of that. But I just know that the Lord had more in store for me from that moment. But it wouldn't be the last time that I would have a gun placed on me over foolishness. But, you know, so for me, when people talk about Halloween, and I have not gone out to celebrate Halloween since. I don't get into all that because I have seen the dangers of what this night can bring firsthand. And You can say what you want. The opportunity to take some of these crazy folks that live in this city and across this country and let them dress up in whatever they want where you can't see their faces. Too many innocent people's lives are put at stake, and so I can't rock with it. So you can call me whatever you want to call me. But at the end of the day, I'm happy to be here. And I do not take that for granted, because it is not the coolest thing to ever have to have lived through. So that is my Halloween story. I told folks on the internet I would write about it, but it's late and I got some lessons to write later on, so I don't think I'm going to be able to write about it. So. But now, with that behind us, we're going to keep going. I know it's the end of the half an hour. We're going to keep going. Tomorrow, I want to say this to all the would-be novelists out there. Tomorrow begins National Novel Writing Month. And there is a website that gives you gifts if you're able to write 50,000 words in a month. Now, the reason why the website does it is to get you off your butt, up at your computer, to sit down and get your story out there. Because, okay, there you go. And the good thing about it is, once you get your 50,000 words down in a month, now you can take that time to edit it and re-edit it, do all the things you need to do, but it's just getting the words down. And I think most writers who write on a regular, and I write professionally, I can tell you the hardest thing is sitting down and getting the work done. A lot of people start and then they stop. Me, having published 2 books, I know what it's like trying to get a book done. It is not easy. But this is a way to actually, in a 30-day period, to write a novel, and novels are considered 50,000 words or more. The site is Nano, NanoWrimo.org. You can, and let me give you that again, for National Novel Writing Month. It is NanoWrimo.org. You can sign up, and you can, your friends can sign up, and actually they have little motivators that are mailed out to you to keep you motivated throughout the month. I have been signed up for 4 years now, and I have not gotten 50,000 words combined. Some years
yeah,
I just didn't even try. I think the most I got was 6,000. I got like 63,000 words. But even though I got my books done, but this month I'm going to give it a try. I've already posted the synopsis to my story. The title is Josiah's Pain, a story about a young lady who has a painful past that is blocking the blessings that she could have, and is very promiscuous, and she just can't seem to release herself from the things that have happened in her life to allow her to even conceive the idea of love coming her way. And she has a great friend that is trying to shower her with her faith, but you know, she's not accepting that. And then when she actually meets someone that she could possibly love, she's having a difficult time of how is she going to allow the love to take the place of the pain that she has had her whole life. So I am actually going to get this done. And I actually started, I ain't gonna lie, I cheated a little bit. I started today at work because I actually thought today was the first day. So I'm already a page and some change in. I don't even know how many words that is, but I will submit those tomorrow along with whatever I write tonight. And whatever I write at work tomorrow and tomorrow evening, I will submit that towards my total. And I have some other people who have posted on my Facebook page who are interested in going to try. And one of those folks is you, baby.
Yes, I'm working on one of my ideas for a book. Most people know that I'm working on a self-help book for women. I hate to say self-help. I like personal development better. Self-help sounds so derogatory. Personal development has a better tone to it, but it's called Stop Doggy Posing. But I'm also working on a fiction book called Can't Love
fictional.
Like That.
Fictional.
Yeah.
Say it right.
Shut up. Fictional. It's all the same. But it's called Can't Love Like That, and it's basically about very successful businesswoman who's having issues in a romantic area. Basically, she loves being in love. She loves men admiring her. She can't get enough. It does well for her ego because she's a big-time successful woman. And she has multiple male suitors, including a gentleman who has now asked her to marry him. So she's in a dilemma of whether she's ready to settle down or whether she wants to continue to play the field. So.
Okay.
And then I have some other things that I have ideas about. I have another story that has been on my mind for a long time. As everyone knows, my mom passed away in September. But prior to her passing away, some of the stories that she would tell me when she was a little girl and growing up and, you know, how things were, it gave me the idea to write a story based on her life. And the title of that book is Grandma's Cookie. So,
Grandma's what?
Grandma's Cookie, like the Oreo cookie. It's called
Grandma's
Cookie.
I think somebody might have pinned that. You might have to go to the copyright.gov and check that title, because I believe, and I'm not exactly sure, but I believe someone has that title.
Okay, I'll check it out. But,
piggyback on somebody else's work.
Yes, it's going to be based on my mom's life and some of the stories that she told me throughout the years. Because
you going to really get into it now? You going to tell the truth?
I'm going to really, really, really get into it. I might hurt some feelings, but...
I was about to say, toes going to be stepped on then.
I might hurt some feelings. I might step on some toes.
Might push a wheelchair to the side or two.
You I can't with you. I can't with you.
Yeah, you might push a wheelchair to the side of two. I'm sorry, y'all. We just having private jokes anyway. I don't even want to tell you what that joke means, because you're going to stop liking me. You're like, you know what? I hate Kale right now. But yeah, go ahead, darling. I'm sorry.
that's about it. I'm working on those, because it's about that time. I think working for someone, and even in the current situation that I'm in, I'm starting to recognize that I have a lot of talent, and I need to start utilizing those talents to the best of my ability.
Why work for somebody else if you have the ability to work for self? And it is time that we use this company that we created to assist us in making the moves that we need for each other as well as for our child.
Absolutely. And I've been writing for a very long time. I've been writing since I was a little girl. And like I explained to people, I didn't just wake up yesterday and say, oh, I'm going to write. I've had things published for... Since actually I was in elementary school, I had things published in my school newspaper. I used to do a journal for a newspaper in junior high school. When I went to high school, I was on the yearbook committee. I wrote stuff for that. I mean, I've been writing all my life. I've just never professionally published anything of my own writing. So it's time. I see some of the stuff that I read, and when I read it, it gives me a headache.
I've read some things to you.
I think that there's so many talented people within our culture, I'm talking about African Americans, that we should be able to do a whole lot better to display our talents and our skills. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I know that I can write better than a lot of the authors that are out here right now. So I'm just going to show it. Not trying to offend one, but it is what it is.
Okay, so. Well, this is what it is. This is what it is, and listen, we own our own publishing company for this reason, to give the stories and the ideas that we have voice, and we are going to do that. And that is actually one of the changes that we made at Braven Publishing, is that Tiff and I are going to focus more on our own products, not that we're going to leave out others. If there's people that want to do business with us, our website is always available for that. But we are, our main concern is going to be creating the products that we need to further what we do. Like when we move a little further with the Making Marriage Cool Again seminar, which we are going to do tonight, that is going to be a handbook. So folks can have that when they come to hear us speak, or just purchase it if they want to sit and use it to help them. And Tiff's writing is important. She told you that her title of her book, Stop Doggy Posing, Helping Women Regain Their Dignity, is needed, because a lot of folks always ask her. Folks ask her all the time, how did you put up with, how did you deal with KL's cheating when y'all were dating? And it's very important that she explains in detail how she was able to do that, because I've seen people actually react like, wow, I didn't see it that way because I've always thought it this way. And these are the things that are important. So if you're on Facebook, you should jump on author Tiffany Braxton Belvin. She actually has an author's page. I don't know why she didn't give it to you, but that's why my job is to make sure
I'm
certain promotional parts.
I'm not very good at marketing. I'm creative,
yeah,
but she's not good at marketing.
Promotion too. We know. So author Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Now, I also have a page, which is From Gigolo to Jesus by KL Belvin. That's one of my writer's page. And then we have the Braven Publishing page. All these are Facebook pages. And then, of course, we have the Making Marriage Cool Again page on Facebook, because we give life to the different things that we do. We wear multiple hats, and we are changing the world. We believe that. So what we're going to do at this moment is we're going to take a quick break, 2-song break, and when we come back, we are going to get right back into the Making Marriage Cool Again seminar. We want to make sure that the world has part two. We went over part one 2 weeks ago. If you want to check that out, you can on our blog, which I gave you earlier, and I'll give again before the show is over. So stay tuned. You are listening to Reality and Relationships. That is my lovely, sexy, expecting, pregnant wife, all of that. Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. We will be back in 2 songs.
Ha ha.
Yo, you know, I was getting my Miley Cyrus on in here, but
you were
not by myself. I was rubbing up against no dude. I was getting my twerk on.
Did you have your little mouse costume on?
Yes, I had the foam ring and everything. Hey, 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 hey. You ain't know.
Oh my goodness. You know, actually, on the bus today, on my way to work, I saw a guy dressed like Robin Thicke. And
okay.
I don't know where he was on his way to, but I'm assuming he was on his way to find his Miley Cyrus.
You know, the sad part is that Miley Cyrus has the whole world thinking that she originated twerking. So, and what's crazy, she didn't even do a good job at it and didn't have no booty. But, you know, it is what it is. But crossover music is what's happening, and I just like good R&B, man. Grown married men standing on stage twerking with little kids, he got to go home and answer to his wife and whatever God he prayed to. But he does make good music, so I hope him and the Marvin Gaye family can work out whatever issues they have, because I'd hate to think that he robbing my man Marvin Gaye of anything and the family not getting what they're supposed to get. So if you didn't hear, yes, they are suing because they believe that there was some infringements there. But that's another story for another time. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin, and we're going to jump right into the rest of our seminar. Now, what is this seminar? The Making Marriage Cool Again seminar is a seminar that my wife and I created with the idea of sharing the nuances and the experiences that we have had as a married couple and as a couple that has been together since 2000. We've been together for 13 years, and we've been married since 2007, and we believe that we have a very successful relationship, and so we wanted to just give the world some of the tips that we think and or we feel will make your relationship stronger. And like I said, if you missed part one, you can go to makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, look up the 10/17/2003 post, and a link to the show will be there, and you can listen to part one. So in part two, we're going to start off where we left off, was the little things. Now, real quick, let me just go over the six bullet points so you can catch up to where we are. The first one was communication. Second one, an impartial referee. Third one, balance. Fourth one, the commitment. Fifth, humor. Six, the little things. Seven, the roles. And we're not talking about roles of bread. We're talking about roles, the actual design inside the relationship. And playful lovemaking. Uh-oh. Yeah, we had to include that. And so we left off with the little things. And we had left off with support your spouse, personal freedoms. Ask them to go hang out, to get out of the house. Ask them to go hang out. Now, this is important. You don't have to be up under your significant other all the time. Make them go out with their partners or their girlfriends. Kick their behinds out of the house. Don't let them become hermits. Don't let them become self-reliant on you for all of the fun.
Couples that I meet, or even women that I meet, and I have to say women, because sometimes we tend to be very, very, I don't want to say clingy, but we demand so much attention sometimes. And women that I meet sometimes forget how to do things without their significant other. They don't realize that you need your individual time. And it's so funny because, you know, we'll cut our friends off, we'll cut our families off, where we have a new partner in our lives, and then we forget that we need time for ourselves.
Yes, you need those friends and family.
Right, it also helps in a healthy relationship with your partner. KL and I do stuff outside of each other. And
yes,
it's so funny because I remember just, you know, we just mentioned that we don't celebrate the holidays the way people traditionally celebrate them. And I remember when we first started dating, there was a Valentine's Day that each of us went on our separate trips. And it was so weird for other people that they said, okay, you went away for the weekend, he went away for the weekend, how are you guys not spending Valentine's Day together? And I said, because we can do that. We know that we love each other, but we can spend that time away from each other. And someone actually said, oh, when you guys get married, it's going to be different. So
yeah,
far, it has not been different. KO and I still do stuff separately. I mean, Valentine's Day is not a day that we celebrate anyway, but
yeah,
we still have our separate time for ourselves.
We're not having no date dictate how we feel about each other. We're not getting caught up into someone saying, today you need to express love for your significant other, just like Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, in the faith that I believe in, it says, honor thy mother and father daily. So I'm not waiting on Mother's Day to show my mom that I care about her. I'm going to do the things I need to do ahead of time. So I don't get caught up in a lot of these holidays because, to me, they're based in foolishness. But that's just me. But Tiffany is 100% right. And that's why we place that there, is that support that personal freedom. Say, go ahead out and be comfortable. Don't be jealous. And trust, listen, so what she's out with the whore friend? So what she's out with her whore cousin? You got with your lady, you got with your man because you love them. Trust that they're going to be able to handle. Just because they're hanging out with the whole cousin or the whole friend doesn't mean that they're going to become that. Now, if it starts to get to the point that they're neglecting things in the relationship to hang out with the whore cousin, the whore girlfriend, the whore sister, the whore brother, whoever, now that becomes a conversation that you need to sit down and have, because once home is neglected, then everything else is incorrect. Everything else is out of pocket. Home has to be solid first before you want to start traipsing in the streets. And a lot of folks make that mistake, and they hit the streets, and home is in tatters. And again, as I said last week and the week before that, if you leave home in shambles, somebody else will attempt to come and clean up. And that is how you open up the door to the things that you do not want in your relationship. Next, make sure you have activities you do together. Now, this is the other side of the coin. There should be things that you two do together that is not just the same thing. Don't just go to the same restaurant every Friday, go to the movies because that's the routine.
That could get
go
boring.
Go bowling, traveling, dining, painting, anything. Tiff and I bowl together. And actually, I was trying to get her to bowl with the baby because she's pretty good.
Why
Tiff
are you
and I
telling that story?
All right,
you
I said you're not bowling. And I found out you was pregnant. You ain't bowling.
He snatched the bowling ball out my hand. He's going to put the bowling ball down.
Stolen. And we have an adequate replacement. Actually, let me tell you something. Tiff has been part of a championship team. Two of the last 3 years, we have won the league that we bowl in, and Tiff has been a part of that championship team two of those 3 years. I was a part of the championship team two of those 3 years. And so I sat out last year, wasn't able to bowl because I was injured. This year she's sitting out because she's pregnant. So she's a pretty good bowler. But at the same time, to me, her health and the baby was more important. We found an adequate replacement, and we're struggling right now. It had nothing to do with her. The big guns, those guys, are not doing what we're supposed to do, but I think that's going to turn around early in the season. But the point of the matter is that you need to do things together. We love to travel. We love to load up the truck, load up the cooler bag, do the things we need to do, and hit the road. The road, the trip to North Carolina, the drive down to North Carolina back the summer before was one of the best, simply because if I hadn't been so tired, we made great time. Just because you get out there, you're listening to satellite radio, and if I can keep Tiff awake, we were good. And she's tired to stay awake because she's worried about me going to sleep too. But
I can't sleep with KL in the car driving because
you know,
he falls asleep. And I think I told this story before, that we were on the road with the kids fell asleep, I fell asleep, KL fell asleep. In the car was going off the road. And
no, it wasn't. It wasn't going off the road.
Honey, the car was going off the road. And the funny thing is, we must have been swerving back and forth because I kind of felt it in my sleep. And as I was slowly waking up, I could see us going to the side. When I turned to look at him, his head was back, his eyes were closed. And the funny thing is,
no, we hit the vibrating part.
No, we did not.
Yes,
and the cars in front of us were way in front of us, and the cars behind us were way behind us. So we must have been swerving a lot because these people knew to stay away from our car. Because I turned around. I'm exaggerating.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, I did nod a little bit. Yes, so I thank the Lord that nothing happened.
Your head was back like you had just drank a 40 ounce.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody remembers that Hertz commercial where it was like, what about aromatherapy?
Yes.
And then they show you everybody sleep. And
every time I see that commercial, I think about us. All of us asleep in this car, including KL, driving. Oh, my goodness.
But we're back to the point. It's just, we were, we love to travel. And the ride is also great bonding time. It's a great time to get connected to your significant other because it's just you, her, the radio. And we go through the old school hip-hop. We go through, and we've heard some crazy song. What was that country song where, I can't remember that one we heard. We was going down to Virginia. Was it the one about the jeans or something? It was crazy. It was just something we both looked at. Did he just say, was it, I don't know if it was tight jeans. But we heard a song where it was like, wow. They actually put that on the radio, but this is the fun that you have, and it becomes something that bonds you two together. The road trips actually meet them. Yes. And also, when you pull up to the hotel, I'm not going to lie to you, after a good 12, 13 hours of driving, when you finally get to the hotel, that rest when you lay down on the bed is fantastic. And to share that together and then to get up, to do the business the next day, whether it's speaking, whether it's selling books, whatever it is, you can't beat that. And I just let folks know that don't pass on that as a couple. Don't pass on that as a married couple. You know, moving on to the roles. Now, this is important. Actually, all of these are important, but Clearly define your roles. Each person should know what their role is in a relationship. Who is the chef? Who is the accountant? Who is the enforcer? Who is the ski mask person? Who is whatever? I mean, you need to know those. Yo, listen, I'm trying to get that ski mask on. Somebody gonna get it. But you need to have clearly defined roles because it takes a lot of pressure off of each other. And you have to get away from certain individual ideas that you had when you were single. The individualism is cute in some areas, but this is one of the areas where it has to be curbed, if not just eliminated, when you're talking about the roles within your marriage. Because those roles may change at times. I may have to assume through these that are normally tips. But I need to know that. And she may need to tell me, babe, I can't get this, I got you. And vice versa. And that play back and forth strengthens you. Also, when you're within your roles, you excel. I don't ask Tiff to cook that often, even though people go, you don't cook for your husband? I'll quickly go, no.
She ain't
good at cook. She all right, but I would rather cook. Plus,
I've been cooking a lot more since we moved into our new place.
Yeah, it's gotten better, yes. But, you know, there's just certain things that you go, you know what, I got that. And it's not a bad thing. Just like y'all have tuned in, Kale's always running his mouth. Yes, that's my role. And Tiff sits back and chills, but it's not that she's not paying attention. And it's not that she's fighting for time. She actually wants me to speak. She'll actually say, you got it. I'm going to go do whatever. And that's very important because we understand that. She'll also send me little messages. All right, you're going too far. Said too much. You know? And I'm like, really? And I look at it. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And
it's
this is what we do for each other.
I think a lot of times when people see me, you know, take the submissive role, and being submissive does not mean that you're weak. A lot of women, they'll say to me, and it's so funny because it's also the older women that they realize what their problem is watching me with KL. And as everyone knows, KL likes to talk. And sometimes I just let him talk. It's that's what he likes to do. Every now and then I have an input here and there, but KL's good at what he does. He talks for a living. He talks in front of the classroom every day, all day long. So I've noticed that women will say, you know what? You just sit there and allow him to be front and center stage. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's another role that people have to recognize, that sometimes when couples butt heads, that's because both of them want to be front and center stage. Sometimes one of you got to be front and center stage and the other one has to play the background. We all have our moments to shine. We don't always have to shine all the time. So that's just something I wanted to spend there.
There you go. No, but that's extremely important. And I just hope now the second one goes with the first one. If it actually helps the foundation of the first one. Know your strengths and weaknesses. Now, you would think if you know your roles, you know your strengths and weaknesses. Nuh-uh, not necessarily. Because I might be great at handling the money, and Tiff might be good at handling the cleaning or whatever. That don't mean it's a weakness or a strength, but you need to know your strengths and weaknesses. And I'll give you a perfect example. I know that I have a weakness with spelling. Yeah, I speak well. Yeah, I speak a lot. But I couldn't win a spelling bee if I was given the answers. So I make sure to not try to front. I tell the truth. I tell it in school. I tell everybody I have a master's degree and I'm a horrible speller, but I'm working on that simply because I make sure I work with Tiff because that is a strength of hers. So I'll yell out, how do you spell? And I go, okay, I got it. But first I make the attempt to deal with the weakness. But if I'm looking at it and I don't like the way it looks and I think I might have spelled it wrong, yeah, I can check spell check, and yeah, I can check a lot of things. But the reason why I call out the Tiff is because, one, I like to get the answer from her, and I do better with lists. I hear very well. So when I hear her spell a word, it then allows me to file that away. That is another strength of mine, is that when I'm listening, I'm actually learning quicker than I am when I'm reading and anything else. And in a relationship, the two of you need to understand your strengths and weaknesses Because as things happen, and they're going to happen, you may need to step in and undergird your partner because they're dealing with, from a position of weakness. I know Tip doesn't like conflict. I know she doesn't like struggles, and I'm fantastic in them, so I'll jump out front. I got this. What did you say? How did you say that? What's going on? Because I know she doesn't like conflict. And if I'm not there, then some of the times I'll try to lend my strength to her, and I'll say, this is what you need to do. Now, I can be a hothead at times. I'm not out of control. So Tiff's strength is being calm and patient. She needs to remind me that I do have that as a strength. I just tend to not go to that well quick enough. So say, baby, calm down. Do this. Oh, okay. Because like I said before on another show, I'll send an email with some negativity in it in a minute. But I have learned not to do that. I have learned to say, baby, check this out for me. Read this for me. Tell me what you think. No, you can't send this. As even with my work, I'm so eager to get my stories and other things that I might write out to people that Tiff's like, don't do that. Let me see it first so I can clean it up because I want you to be seen in the best light possible. So once you understand your strengths and weaknesses, there's just things you won't do, and the relationship grows from that. Now, be honest about what you can't, and don't make promises you don't intend to keep. Let me say that again. Be honest about what you can't do, and don't make promises you don't intend to keep. Don't do that. I mean, it speaks for itself. If you can't do something, just be honest. I can't. I can't do that. Don't tell your partner, don't say yes just to placate her. Don't say yes just to make them feel good. Tell the truth.
Just to make them feel good if you can't do it.
Exactly.
That's something my mom taught me. She said, when you go into relationships, don't go into it cooking every day if you're not going to cook every day.
Exactly. Don't tell them, yeah.
You know, she said, go into the relationship how you plan to be throughout the relationship. Because if you go into it one way, that's what's going to be expected from you every time. And, you know, things change. Like, sometimes I hear, oh, she used to dress up and look so nice all the time, and now she doesn't even take care of herself. You know, we get older, we get tired, and it's funny because early on in the pregnancy, I'll be honest, I was looking tore up from the floor up. And also, you know, after losing my mom, I was going through in a mental state that I was trying to not be in a funk, not be in a depression. And I just looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, oh, no, how can y'all got me going around looking like this? And I told him, I said, how did you got me going around looking like this? And I said, you know what, I can't do this. I need to get myself together. But, you know, sometimes we go through our circumstances where we need our partner to say, you know what, I need you to get it together. And Kale didn't do that. Why you didn't do that, honey?
I saved the money. You look good to me.
I look good to you.
Yeah, save the money. You look good to me.
Anyway. But honestly, sometimes we just go through our funks and we realize, okay, it's time to get back on point, get back on track. So if you're going to go into a relationship looking flashy all the time, see, that's people going to expect all the time. I think the funniest thing is when KL mentions when women wear body shapers, us heavy set women, when we wear body shapers, and then when we get in the bedroom and the body shaper comes off.
It's like biscuits being popped out of a can. It's like somebody sold you a bad bill of goods. You know, you at the club, you looking good. Everything
you got the hourglass shape going.
Yo, you get home and she start reaching behind her. She start reaching on the side, and here come that can of biscuits. Boop! You like, what the? Oh! And
true.
Now you're stuck because you're like, oh, she did the bait and switch on me. But no, I mean, and the thing is, I know what women have to do, especially having a wife that's a model and pageant person. I know what she has to go through to look good. I know what she has to do to get herself together. I know what women have to do to look good. But I simply say, make sure that you're who you are all the time. Now, I'm not saying walk around in a body shape all the time. No, not at all. I'm saying just make sure you're real with you. Make sure that there's just certain things that are what you are, that you're doing what you say you can do and being who you say you are. And don't make promises that you can't keep. I mean, that's, you don't even need that in relations. That's just in general. Don't commit to things that you can't actually finish. So come on. That goes without saying.
Speaking of being who you are in a relationship, I have to tell this story. It was so funny. The educational nurse on the job mentioned how when she first started in her career that she worked in, I guess, the surgery department, and the nurses always had to make sure that the person that was going to have surgery performed on them went through a certain process, making sure they didn't have any jewelry on, fake teeth, you know, any type of anything that was going to affect the whole process of the surgery. So she spoke to the woman. She said, do you have false teeth? Do you have this? Do you have that? They go through a whole list of what they need to make sure of before the surgery starts. And the woman said, no, 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 everything's good. Then as she's going into the surgery room, she pulls out her dentures. And, of course, the doctor is pissed off because, God forbid, if she would have kept the dentures in and if she went under anesthesia, if the dentures fell out, it could have blocked her airway. It's just, it's a whole lot of things that could happen if they did not recognize for her to take out the dentures. But she did take out the dentures on her own. But the nurse said, you know, why did you lie? She said, I asked you if you had dentures. And she said, listen, she had been with her husband for 20 years, and her husband did not know she had dentures.
Wow.
Nobody knew that she had dentures. So she said that she could not admit in front of her husband that she had fake teeth. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, how do you go 20 years not telling your husband that you have fake teeth? And then what was funny is, she made the nurses promise that her husband could not come in the recovery room until she was awake.
She put
awake
the teeth back in?
So she could put the teeth back in. Can you imagine 20 years and your husband doesn't know that you have fake teeth?
Hey, listen, you'd be surprised at things that people hide. People take to the grave with them. All right, next is an open understanding of the financial role. All right, money can dissolve a relationship quickly. You need to have an open understanding. And I mean, this is where you need to sit down. If you know you're not good with money or good with math, come on. And if you know you're not good with money, you're not giving up you're not giving up who you are by saying, here, you handle the money. And if you're with somebody that you can't trust with your money, then why are y'all together anyway?
Right.
You know, like right now, I handle certain things in tip work. So when she get paid, I'll say, did you send me that? Yes, I'm sending it right now. She sends it to me. I take care of what I got to take care of. That's just my role because it's easier. And we're going to be 100% transparent, is that there were times that I would let Tiffany take care of it on her own, and she would mess it up.
Yes.
So one of the changes that we said was, I said, okay, baby, no longer are you going to do that. You're just going to send me this each time you get paid, and I'll take care of it. And you know what? We've had no problem. And it comes down to it. And I know some people are very prideful, very proud. I work. It's my money. But when you're in a relationship, let's get away from my, me, me, me. There are certain things that are you two together, that are yours, that are ours together. And that needs to be taken care of because bills and everything else have to be taken care of. Now, once that's done, do you. Just like when we bowl, if Tiff makes money, I give her hers and do you. Now, if Tiff went to do as the extra in the film, I joked to her, I said, how much you getting paid? That's my business. I ain't telling you. I was like, oh, it's like that. She's like, yeah, don't count my money. So when we got to the store, she's like, give me money, I'm going to the store. I said, no. I ain't count your pocket earlier. You got dough. Go in there and spend your money. You ain't spending mine. And we joke and laugh about it, but that's what's needed. But if I say, baby, give me $20, fine. Or if something comes up, like just now, Tiff said, I can't give you what I said I was going to give you, but I'll give it to you before this time. I need to do this. Okay, fine, do that. But you know we need to take care of whatever. Fine. And she has an idea and understanding what that is.
Right.
The second thing is, don't hide and lie about money. Now, those two are connected. Do not lie about money. Your significant other may be trying to put things in place based on what you say you have, don't have, and then you don't want to place your significant other where they're out trying to figure out how to get things done when you actually have it, but you're like, I'm not telling them everything. That's foolish. Right. It is you two together. You're building a home. Now, this is not, I'm referring this to married folks. If you're dating, hey, all bets is off. You know, if you don't think that person's going to be around forever, then you might want to protect your money and things like that. Now, like I said, these tips are making marriage cool again. Now, these are tips that will work when dating, but we're leaning more towards the marriage, and this is what we're talking about, and how to strengthen the marriage. Because in a regular relationship where y'all just dating, where you can actually go to your house and go home to her house, his house, whatever, that's going to make things totally different than what we're talking about. So you may be sitting back going, that don't work for me. Yes, because you're not married.
Right. It doesn't work for you because you're not married.
But married folks, we're speaking to you strongly is that don't lie about it because, you know, one, it just sets a bad precedent, especially if that lie comes out, and you don't want to start lying and then have it come out and just cause the person to lose faith in you in other areas. Our old principal used to say, you get caught lying in one area, everybody starts searching for everything else, and then they start to uncover things you never expected to come out. So don't do that. Also, learn to share the good, bad, and worst of times. Learn that there are going to be some tremendous times in a relationship, and then there's going to be some devastating pitfalls. You two are going to have to cling close to each other all the way through. Enjoy the highs. I mean, enjoy them. Keep talking about it. I mean, some people may get tired of Tiff and I talking about the baby, tired of when we was talking about our wedding, tired of when we was talking about we was in Ebony Magazine, tired of them talking about their company, tired of them talking about this. Well, you know why we talk about it? Because we know what that pain felt like when we got that call about her mother, when we had to sit there and look at my grandmother in the position that she was in towards the end. And what it's like to be in a house or a home that you don't want to be in when you want to be somewhere else. To be without your dog for a week and have no idea what's going on. And then what it's like to be able to, that someone found them. You know, bad times are going to happen.
Right.
And losing a child. And then being blessed again to have one. Bad times are going to happen. Good times are going to happen. So you know what? Enjoy the highs for as long as you can. Because you're going to have to gear up for the lows. And you're going to need the memory of those highs to help you get through those lows because you're going to want those highs back. So you're going to fight. And you're going to fight together. And you're going to maybe have to hold up your partner when they feel like quitting, when they're emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm the stronger one of the two when it comes to that. I can be honest about that. And I'll tell Tip all the time, get it together. And I'm brutal when it's that. Get it together. Hey, okay, you cried. Okay, what's up?
Now, don't make it seem like I'm crying all the time.
I know, but when you do, oh, my gosh.
The whole world's coming
to an end.
And I'll be honest, that goes back to when we talked about being independent and dependent on your partner. And because I spent so much of my life being independent, I have developed this resiliency that I don't break down at a lot of things that people normally break down at. But when I do break down, it's, you know.
That's because she hoards everything inside of her instead of dispensing it.
Yes. Yes. And it's funny because I'll tell people, and they think I'm joking, but I tell people, my husband allows me to throw tantrums. I don't throw tantrums often. Maybe once, twice a year, I'll really get it out. I'll get out some really not so nice words. But that's because I hold in a lot in order to be able to get through what I need to get through. Sometimes, you know, you can't be emotional about everything. Sometimes you need to just suck it up and make do. But that doesn't mean that your mind is still not dealing with it. And you might come to that point that my max just happens to be higher than a lot of people that I've come across. Some people fall apart at everything.
Yeah,
but
and I'm trying to get even higher.
High. And unfortunately, when it comes to that, yes, I need to break down and cry and tear up and just have my moment. And KL allows me to do that. But
yeah.
I'm not emotional about everything.
Yeah. And I'm just a sap when it comes to movies and stuff like that. But for the most part, I'm a brick. For the most part, I'm a rock. But I'm a sappy big dude, man. Don't get me watching certain movies. I'll be all tearing up. Be like, yo. But when it comes to the social stuff, when it comes to doing my job as a husband, then I'm a rock because it's just the way I was raised and the way I was brought up to find a way to get
and
through
I'm
it.
I'm thankful for that. Oh, my goodness. I'm thankful that I have a supportive husband that knows his wife. And if I say, you know what, okay, I can't deal with this, this is a problem, he's addressing it. He knows what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of doing. And he knows that if I say something, I'm not just complaining to be complaining. It's serious.
I'm a natural problem solver. That's what I do. I am a natural problem solver, just like Chip is a natural doer. She'd rather not think about it, but when she does put her mind to it, she comes up with some incredible things. This is also why I try to convince her to do more in terms of like what she's doing now, because I believe the world needs to see some of the things that she doesn't show. So definitely. Now, the next couple, pay off debt whenever possible. Come on, that speaks for itself. You don't need that hanging over your head because it can affect so much of what you want to do going forward. So pay off debts as quick as possible. That's one area that I struggle with sometimes. I'm dealing with it now. I should have paid something off, and I didn't. Now I got to make sure I get it done. But you know what? When in doubt, pay off things, because it's better to just get it out the way and not have than have it hanging over your head and then got to deal with it later. So that speaks for itself. Everybody knows in these tough times. Now, fights over money can kill a marriage. Own up to your mistakes and look to rebuild what was lost. Do not make a poor choice worse by trying to hide it from your significant other. And then it blows up and it all comes out, because it will destroy the foundation of your marriage, because they may now start to think that you are hiding other things. Right. If you made an investment, if you tried something, if you did something, if you bought something, own up to it. You know what? I shouldn't have did it. Okay. If it's a possibility to take it back, if it's a possibility to do something, fine. If not, you hold that, you go from there. And do not bring it back to the table that's fighting dirty in the future. Yeah, but when you did, stop that right there. If y'all fixed it and moved past it, leave it alone. It's done. If it hurts, you might need to take a few minutes, maybe take a ride, maybe go to Applebee's with the boys, have a drink, Applebee's with the girls, come back, let's go. Because if you hold on to it, then it becomes a problem all over again. So now the person is paying for the mistake over and over again. That is unfair to anyone.
Yeah.
So the best thing is, honesty is the best policy. Because fights over money, I'm telling you, they open up doors that you may not be able to close. And when you look up, your marriage is over.
That is the number one reason that marriage
really
failed.
I figured as much.
It's not even infidelity, which is funny. It's not infidelity. It's finances that marriages end.
Money cuts deep. Money cuts deep. Now, the last one in the role section is talk about your retirement dreams and work towards them. You two should have a working understanding of what the retirement is going to look like. Do you plan on working forever? Do you plan on working for yourself? Do you plan on working for the company? What's your package look like? What's your benefits look like? Start making plans for your future, because you married forever. So you want to make sure that you have money forever. So you want to sit down and make sure that those things are in place, because you might have to put some things on hold now because it might be financially draining, but towards your retirement, be able to do those. Now, the one thing Tiff can tell you is when it comes to planning, when it's around money, that's my thing. I don't play. Listen, I am the stingiest cat on the planet.
Yes.
And when I make plans, I make sure I work those plans. Like, I could tell you exactly what was going to happen with my child support. I know exactly what I'm paying. I know exactly how I pay this off. I know exactly. And the reason why is money is one of the most important things, tools, one of the most important tools on this planet. I want to make sure that I know what mine is doing. I know what ours is doing. I know what hers is doing. So when we sit down, we can make the plans necessary so each of us can benefit from what we have, that we're not struggling. And if done correctly, you can be comfortable. Now, rich, Yeah, listen, I can't say how, if you're going to get rich or not. That has to do with how much work that you put into whatever it is that you're doing. But if you're working, it should be towards a pension. And if you're not on a gig that has a pension, yo, start trying to find you something that does, because why spend 20 years in a company when it's all said and done? Thank you.
You have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, man. Start, like, when people ask me, I want to change my career from teacher, but it's going to be into something else that gives me a pension, so I can have two pensions, three pensions, whatever. Because you want to have funds available to you later on when you're getting older, slower, and or you just want to do some of the things that you like. The money will be there for you.
Absolutely.
Very important. Now, you know what? It is 9:30. We're going to take, what do you think, one song, baby?
One song,
we'll take a break.
All
right, let's take a break. We're going to take a one-song break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with discussing playful lovemaking. Ooh. This is Reality Relationship.
Thousand miles away from me, I'm staying strong. I'm holding on, it's been too long. It was thousand miles.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL Belvin and my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, is online. Let's give a round of applause for the DJ GQ Palace Radio in the background there. Great music choices. A friend of mine from Milan tuned in to listen to the show. And that was one of the things that he pointed out. He laughed and joked with the things that Tiff and I were talking about, congratulating us about a baby, about the baby. And then he said he loved the music and that he was just a soulful person himself. So GQ Palace Radio and Reality Relationships is being listened to in the UK, I mean over in Europe, listening from Milan. So shout out to Milan. They actually tuned in to check us out. So one of my Twitter friends who I speak to on a regular. Now, let's break this down. Yes, that definitely deserves a round of applause. International, yes. Now, let's bring this home, and this is why we love this section at the end. And everything that you hear in our seminar is going to be in our new book with the same title, Making Marriage Cool Again, and we're going to put all these bullet points into our handbook so we can actually give those away during the seminars that we do or just to sell on our website. Playful lovemaking. All right. Now, you know, the sex question comes up a lot when you hear relationship shows and people say if your partner couldn't have sex, you know, first of all, let's get away from that. You and your partner should be making love. Now, sex is the action. Lovemaking is the action. But it is the feelings that are connected to the two individuals that changes it from the act of having sex to the art of making love. And you want to make love to your significant other because you are married, and this is what marriage is about. And again, this goes to the marriage folks, but if you folks that are dating want to steal some of this, that is on you. But in my faith, it is better to be married so y'all can really get into this the right way. But again, I'm not here to preach to you. And if y'all think I'm not playing, she's pregnant, so that should tell you everything you need to know. Now, learn what really turns each other on. This is your significant other, your man, your woman. You need to know the things that turn them on, because this is what lovemaking is about. It is that connection, that spiritual connection that should actually just create that. Now, it may not always be that quickie in the kitchen and that little, and we just got home from work. All of that works. But know what's needed to be done to turn your partner on, even in the quickie.
Yeah.
Even in a little something here and there, and even in a long session on a rainy afternoon, whatever. That's your partner. Know the things that cause your partner to get excited. That is your job. You should know that.
And if you don't know, don't be afraid to ask.
There you go.
Communication. What do you like? what can I do to make you feel good?
Talk. And when they watch a movie, you want some of that? Well, I'm taking it back. Get that right now. Let's go. But the idea is that have that communication. Also, the things that turn you off and things that made you feel uncomfortable. Because it was uncomfortable with somebody else does not mean it will be uncomfortable with your partner. Now, would we rather you be virgins when you get married? Yes, but let's be realistic. Most people are not. So if something that you did or attempted with someone else, let me tell you why it could be and may be different now. The emotional connection, the loving connection that you have, the fact that if your partner is who they say they are, they're going to make sure that they handle everything with kid gloves so that it's done the right way. And if you're not, and if any of this sounds strange to you, like, well, my husband, my wife don't sound like that, y'all need to talk. Y'all really need to talk. Now, these are the things that become the dressing for the foundation. Because once you add this piece, now you understand why certain married men walk around grinning all the time and certain married women walk around grinning all the time, or some married couples have 12, 15 babies. They ain't just trying to pump babies out to make money. They enjoying themselves. Them babies is being made for a reason. The second thing is, it's okay to act like teenagers. Enjoy it. Be those teenagers again. Show that affection for each other. Love each other's company. Act like bunny rabbits if you can. Don't hurt yourself when you can't go to work. Don't need to be missing time on the job or losing your job because you're trying to act like teenagers. But it's okay to act like a teenager. It's okay to enjoy your significant other so much that you're giggling. And it's okay to pinch your head, a little pat here, a little pat there, like teenagers, that giggling and all that cool. And now it's going to drive other people crazy. And you may get on other people's nerves, but you know what? So what?
Right.
Y'all love each other. Show that. And secretly, people secretly hating because they want that. So when they go, well, y'all two stop, translation is, I ain't got none of that. And do what you got to do. Also, now we got to get to the learning. That's the fun part. But let's get to some of the learning, too. Don't play hide the booty. Don't refuse to make love as a way to get what you want. You know what? I didn't like the fact that he didn't clean the kitchen. I'm playing hide the booty. I didn't like the fact that she barked on me the other day. I'm playing hide the penis. Stop all that. Don't try to use the bedroom as a weapon for the things that you want in a relationship. Not only is it wrong, it's cruel. And you do not treat the significant other that way, because the bedroom should be a place where the two of you not only relax, where you express that love for each other. Don't taint that with negativity. Don't taint that with foolishness. Now, I ain't going to talk about cheating, because if you bring somebody home and to your marital bed that's not your wife or your husband, yo, that's a violation beyond violation. And now we're talking about violation towards God. Yes, Tiff and I are Christians, so that piece is going to be there. Is that marriage to us is a bond to God. We have said to God, this is who I want to be with. I don't want to be with anybody else. So now once you've made that decision, you now have brought God into the mix. You don't really want to go toe-to-toe with him. You won't win. So you're better off owning up to, like we said before, you promised it, stick with it. If there's problems, work it out. But the marital bed, when it says sacred, it really should be somewhere special. It's where you and your significant other relax yourself. It's also where you and your significant other really release that love to and from each other. Our dog is so comfortable. He lays at the edge of our bed like it's his. Like, yo, there's a lot of love going on here. I'm good. It's your butt on the floor. Like, nope. I'm laying right here. And I think a lot of it is how we are with each other. He really enjoys that. And he lays in the same spot. Now, he makes sure we're straight, because he ain't trying to crawl up in between us and get crushed. We ain't small. But once we're settled, he finds him a little pocket. He just lays down at the edge of the bed. And then sometimes he'll jump back down on his pillow. But I really believe that the love that we share for each other and the love that we have for him, he feels that. You can tell. Animals are a great reflection of the love that they get. And other people see it in just the way he trots around.
Yes.
They see it. They see it in Tiffany. And that's going to show in your relationship if you've kept that sacred, if you've kept that emotion where it should be. The final one for tonight, remember how much you love each other. Express that in your lovemaking. Now, yes, you can try to do the porn thing, and y'all can role play, and you can be the porno director, and she can be the porn star, you can be the cowboy, and she can be the horse, whatever.
We've never done role play.
I don't need to.
Just I was just about to say, we actually don't need it, but...
be from Gigolo to Jesus, you'll understand why. Just being KL.
It just killed me when you said it. It's something we've never really done.
Well, but for some people, they like that. So if y'all need to dress up, you do what you gotta do. But I'm gonna say this again: remember how much love each other. Express that love in your lovemaking. You know, it's not about showing off. It's not about how well I could perform. It's how
long I could perform.
All of that. It's about comfort. It's about expressing love to and from, and doing the things necessary that both of you, when it's over, are satisfied. in whatever way that needs to happen. And then it goes back to the first one when it says learn what really turns each other on. If you have the first one, well, when you get to the last one, you're good. Now, as we said with all of these points, all of these points will be in our new book that will be ready in 2014. I'll have an exact date soon. I'm thinking spring, a spring release. And what we want is to be able to give these for folks to be able to, almost like a little pocket. You know, we're not experts. You know, I take that back. We're experts in us. We know how to take care of each other. We're offering the world a glimpse into what we do. If it works, run with it. If it don't, toss it to the side. If there's something you want to add to it, add to it. Just don't put it in our book and try to sell it, because then I'd have to shoot.
Be an expert in your own relationship.
Yes.
That's what the book is.
Yes. But if you want to use our blueprint to help you, and if you believe that anything that we've discussed tonight or anything that we've discussed in the show 2 weeks ago is going to help someone, contact us. If you want us to come and speak at your event to talk about this, contact us. And you can contact us at info@ravenpublishing.com. And also you can call our voicemail number, which is our Braven Publishing voicemail number. It's our office voicemail. And that is 347-921-0443. Leave your name, your organization, and whatever request that you have, and a callback number and the time to call. Also, please let us know what time zone. Sometimes we get folks from other parts of the country that forget there's a 3-2 hour, 1 hour difference, and our times get all screwed up. So please leave the time zone, and let's talk. And we can work out particulars. We're coming to speak at your event, coming to talk to your ministry, coming to talk to your couples, coming to talk to your married couples, coming to talk to your men, your single, whatever. Now, one thing that we do have to say this, and I'm not saying it to be braggadocious, I'm not saying it to be rude. We are professionals, so we have to work out some type of payment. And it is not that we are trying to hold you up, but nothing, we can't do anything for free. Traveling costs money, gas costs money, hotels cost money. We can't travel to your town because Sister Agnes can cook a great chicken. Even though we love the chicken, but we still have to be able to pay bills for the products and the materials that we create, for the time spent. But we are not shysters. We're not going to try to hold you up. We're not going to try to beat you in the head for the honorarium and not do what we're supposed to do. We try to work within the financial constraints of whatever the organization is that would like us to come and speak. Because it is more about the message and what we do to serve the Lord than it is about trying to dig into your pocket. But we do try to remind folks that we are professionals and expect to be paid for some of the things that we do, because we can't do it for free. We'd love to, but we just can't. And that's not braggadocious and saying, okay, you got to. No, we're professionals. And we'll always act professional. We'll always carry ourselves in a professional way. And we make sure that we honor the time that we sign up for. I hate when I see someone that signed up for an event and I see them packing up and leaving early. Tiff and I will stay to the bitter end. Sometimes we're the only...
The only couple sitting there.
And even some of the orchestrators will come over and go, "Are y'all still here? We signed on to be here till 5. We signed on to be here till 6. We signed on to be here till 8. We've had some of the promoters say, "You can go." I mean, everybody's not here. And we'll say, "Are you sure?" Because I believe in honoring my word in the contract that we signed. So we sign on for 2 hours. We're going to do 2 hours. Because, again, we're going to try to be the example of what we're actually talking about. That's the reason why we live our life transparently. Is that we want folks to see, not to throw it in their face. We want folks to see what the Lord is doing in our lives, because we want y'all to have the same thing.
And that is impossible. Because
Yes. When
you listen to couples, especially couples who've been in failed relationships, you would be hopeless. You would think that having a productive and long-term relationship, I'm talking about lifelong, is not even possible when you listen to some people, but it is possible. It's something that you have to work at. Life is not a fairy tale. Everything is not going to come easy.
It can be, but it's going to take work. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to start off as a fairy tale. And the fairy tale may only last for a week. It may only last for a night. It may only last for a few minutes. But you can create the opportunities to have the fairy tale. Tiff and I had a chance to spend our honeymoon in Jamaica. Well, guess what? After 5 days, we was in the middle of Hurricane Dean. And I'm not talking about near it. We were in Hurricane Dean. But you know what? We prayed about it. We stood fast. And sure enough, Sandals gave us a free trip. And who knew that in 2008 our money wasn't going to be the way that we wanted it to be. But here we had this free trip to go back. And the fantasy continued itself. And we had just as much fun the second time as we had the first time. And it's funny that here it's been almost 5 years. This summer made 5 years. We haven't went on vacation because we've been working hard. We've been doing everything. Now, one of the things that we like to do is once the baby's born, take some time and get away for a weekend, a week, whatever. But, you know, this is what we do. This is another reason why we explain to folks that, you know, you can have the things that we have, but we want you to have more. So we're hoping that when we share what we do, what we know, that you can avoid some of the mistakes that we've made and just go right to the fantasy and live it every day.
Yeah.
And every day is there's some rough times. There's some times that Tiff and I get on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
We just don't allow it to overtake the whole relationship. We're not going to let it take up a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry? Go ahead, baby. I didn't hear you.
We don't allow it to fester. We don't allow it to overwhelm our relationship.
Yeah, without question. And a lot of couples do. I ain't talking to him. It's been a week. I ain't talking to him. It's been 2 weeks. I ain't talking to her. It's been 3 weeks. Don't even know why y'all still mad at each other. Come on. That don't make no sense. And then some of the things you get mad at. Okay, you didn't wash the dishes. Wash them now. Okay, you didn't take the trash out. Take it out now. Okay, you didn't clean up the room. Clean it up now. No reason to keep going back and forth how it got to that point. Just dead it and keep moving, because is the relationship worth all that foolishness? So these are the things that we like to sit down with couples in an intimate setting, because you need to keep it real.
Yeah.
We need to keep it real. Also, if you go to the makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com site, if you go to July of 2012, we're actually doing the seminar in North Carolina, but I just recorded the piece on communication. So if you want to see the video of a portion of it live, go to July and just circle through. I forget the date, but it was July 2012. Just look through the different posts from that month, and just you'll see the one that says the Making Marriage Cool Again seminar if you want to see it. Or guys, I think you can go to YouTube and click on KL, the writer, and just go through my videos. There's a lot, and you'll see the one from North Carolina. So, you know, this is what it's about, and this is what Tiff and I do. And going forward, you're going to see more products from us. Tiff's book, Stop Doggy Poses, A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity, Can't Love Like This, her fictional story. You're going to see the remake, or not remake, I redid From Gigolo to Jesus. I'm in a Christian fiction anthology, Soldiers of the Cross, with two other talented authors, Maurice Gray Jr. and Isaiah David Paul. And that's coming out in 2014. Of course, the Making Marriage Cool Again Handbook is coming out in 2014, as well as I am working on a fictional story. It is one of the stories that I'm working on for the anthology, but I'm going to pull it back and make it one of my next books, as well as a story that I'm working on right now. Now, it may not be ready in early 2014, but Josiah's Pain will hopefully be ready by the end of the year, going into 2015, but we'll see. But you're going
by
to
the
see...
way,
yes, baby.
I looked up the title of the other book, Grandma Cookie,
yes.
And so far I don't see a fiction book with that title.
You go to copyright.gov?
I'll go to that also.
That's what you got
to
go to first.
Yeah, I see a lot of cookbooks that have a similar title.
Okay, maybe that's where I heard it from.
As a fiction book, no, I haven't seen that title.
You got Grandma's Cookies?
Grandma's Cookies.
Yeah, you got to go to the U.S. copyright, because what happens is you're able to search copyrights, and then you'll be able to check it out, because this way you can actually see, because I think that's the biggest thing, is making sure that the book is yours, or I mean the rights are yours, and you have to search copyright records. Actually, I'm doing it right now. But, yeah, so you're going to see more from us, because, like I said, Tiff and I are going to make sure that we do more. So grandmother or grandma?
Grandma.
Grandma.
Grandma. I wanted to mention also that, Kate, I have to go back to Atlanta in April to crown my successor in the American Beauty Plus pageant.
Yes,
as
2012.
Yeah, earlier.
No, hold on a second. I'm sorry, baby. 2012. I knew because it came out the day after my birthday. Grandmother's Cookies. Last year, it was e-service. It was a text. It was Sherry Lee Sheets. So
what's
it was
the title?
Grandma's Cookies. I'm like, I know. Grandma's Cookies.
Really?
And it's actually another one that was done. That's actually a poem. But that was done in 1995. And there's another one done in 1990. That was music. Let's see. Any other text? No. Everything else is Grandma's Cookies. That's music. Let me see about this one. Visual material. So whatever that is. Oh, that's cookbook. But anyway, there's a text that's out by it. So you might want to change it up. Because,
Okay. Again...
And what you're hearing now is actually how we do the business, is that you may come up with a wonderful title, but you need to go to the uscopyright.gov and look it up, because you don't want to have your book lumped in with all the other names. And, see, as you just heard, you can use the name even if it's out there, but you don't want to get that all jammed up. Like my title, A Man in Transition, actually there is another book with the same name, but they're totally two separate books. Well, darling, we have a minute and a half left. I'm going to jump in first because you always have the last word.
I was talking about something, and you interrupted me.
All right.
Yeah, you were talking about something. You see?
I'm trying to end the show. Go ahead. Do what you have to
do. Okay, because you only got 2 minutes. I just wanted to mention that I have to go back in April to Atlanta, Georgia, to crown my successor in the American Beauty Plus pageant.
Yeah.
And in 2014, Braven Publishing, which is the company that Kale and I have, is going to be a sponsor.
Hey.
We're actually providing the gift, the actual bag for, we do a traditional gift exchange, all the delegates, all the queens, we give each other gifts, and we're providing the bags for the gifts to go in. So if there's anyone who has a service or a business, whether internet-based or based poll that wants to be a vendor and put coupons or any type of advertisements within the Brazen Publishing bag that will be at the American Beauty Plus pageant, please get in contact with us at info@brazenpublishing.com, and we can include your business information in the bag. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
On that note, it's 10 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you tune in next week. Tell a friend. We hope that you learned something. Make sure you stop by the website, www.makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. God bless.
God bless.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Say it built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
And down, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, ooh, oh yeah,
there were times when I was afraid. but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how slow, whatever comes our way.
I love you too.